Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and good morning to everyone that is listening. Welcome to Personal Hearts Radio. I am your host, Aaliyah Walker, the president of Personal Hearts, Inc. The founder is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In 2006, he gave me, as I was laying in my bed in my bedroom, gave me the name for my nonprofit and church, Personal Hearts. And what Personal Hearts means is a person-to-person, heart-to-heart relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is based upon Scripture. And I will give you that Scripture in just a moment, as Holy Spirit has led me to direct the show in this direction, because some people may feel, is Personal Hearts just something that you came up with? How did you come up with the name? And the name was given to me by the Father God through the Holy Spirit. And it's based off of Proverbs 27:19. And Proverbs 27:19 says, as in water, faith answereth the face, so the heart of man to man. Again, Proverbs 27:19, as in water, face answers to face, so the heart of man to man. So that is what Personal Hearts means. It's a person-to-person, heart-to-heart relationship with Jesus Christ. And he gave me the name in 2006, and I incorporated it officially, legally, in 2010. So here we are. Our web address is personalhearts.org. You could always contact me if you need the Bible or if you need any other assistance. I truly believe that the church should be the government. We should be helping and assisting our brothers and sisters, and even those who don't believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because Jesus died for everyone. He didn't just die for a certain sect of people. He died for the entire world. He loves everyone, and he wants everyone to come to the knowledge and truth of his word, save them from hell. You don't want to experience hell even for 1 second. I guarantee you, it's not a place you don't want to go. I was thinking about how many people enter hell every day, and even before me, I'm not even 50, and I think about the people that have gone before me who have died and left this world, and they spend their eternity in hell, and for what? Our life is like a vapor, and it is so important that we attend this dress rehearsal that we call life in the truest form, and that is communion with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because even though you or other people in your family or other listeners or some people may not think that it matters, but your spiritual life does matter. A lot of people are in trouble. Their soul is in trouble. Their heart is in trouble because of the decisions that they made in their life. And no matter what position you are in your life right now, you can cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he can help you if you're in a cult, if you're in witchcraft, if you're worshiping false gods, if you're in idolatry, alcoholism, cigarettes, marijuana, drugs, prostitution, anything. Those are all those are weapons in the enemy's arsenal to ultimately steal, kill, and destroy your life. See, anything in this life that will draw you away from God is the enemy. And what he wants to do is he wants you to join him. Because in the beginning, what's his name was called Lucifer. He was with God. And God created him and he made him perfect. He had musical instruments inside of him. And so that's why you see a lot of people in the music industry who sign contracts with the devil, how they're instantly, I'm telling you, overnight. And this is not something that I don't know. I know this, that you sign a contract with the enemy in the music industry and you are an instant success. A lot of people, more than a lot of people than you realize, have done this when they are famous. And that's the only way really that you become famous in this life, is by signing a contract with the devil. So I want to make you aware that the temptations that have beholding you, that has gotten a hold of you, it's nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. Jesus went through everything that you have gone through and that you are going through. He was tempted of the devil. He was tempted to have kingdoms in this world. He was tempted with food. He was tempted with the pleasures of life. You are not alone in your temptation, and yet Jesus, all that he went through, if someone were to be beaten a tenth of what Jesus has gone through, they would cry bloody murder. They would want that person to die and be sentenced to death and just throw the whole world underneath them. But Jesus, in all that he did and all that he suffered, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So I encourage you just to examine your life and forgive others, because this life, as I stated, is short. My next show is going to be about parents and parental relationships. And I was talking to a friend of mine in Australia, and he felt all alone and how his parents don't want him. And I just said, I offered to him, I said, why don't you take the initiative and go see your parents? And he paused for a minute because he said, I never thought of that. Sometimes your parents may not be the best parents. I didn't have the best parents at all, and I'll go into that next week. I didn't. And so I clung. I mean, you can be clingy. It's okay to be clingy. You can be clingy to Jesus. You can be clingy to him and just unleash your clinginess to him, and he will accept it all. He wants us to be clingy with him. So I just said that as the Holy Spirit leads. I do believe, and I know that the Holy Spirit manifests his gifts through me. I am a straw. I am a vessel. I don't do this for my own glory. I do it for him, and I do it for people who are listening, so that your soul can be saved and your life can be better, because your life is choices. You have choices in this life, and the choices that you make determine your destiny. So if you made a choice, God forbid, if something happened to you in your childhood and you made a choice not to forgive that person, it is affecting you into your adulthood. You're bleeding onto people that haven't hurt you, all because you haven't forgave. And I know that's not the easiest. I know that someone hurting you is not the easiest. I've been hurt, and thank God I haven't been abused, praise the Lord. But I've been hurt. If you live in this world and you're human, there's no way that you're going to go through this world unscathed. There's no way that you're going to go through this life not being hurt by someone or talked about or deceived. There's no way possible, because that's the devil's goal. His goal is to use deception, to use hurt, to use anything he can to get you to where he is. That's the ultimate goal, to kill, steal, and destroy. He will destroy your life. He can't destroy it. He'll outright try to kill you from birth. If he can't kill you, he will use deceptive practices. That's his MO. That's his modus of operandi. And he will use deception, deception, deception. That is why the Bible teaches that no liar, no liar shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's why the Bible teaches that a poor man is better than a liar. Because when you lie, you are in essence saying that the devil is your father. Because you say, Leah, that's a harsh accusation. No, it is not. It is based on biblical principles. Jesus himself said the devil is the father of lies. He said the devil is the father of lies. So if you lie, you are saying the devil is your father. So if you do lie, repent. Repent of it quickly and ask God to forgive you. There's no reason on earth why you should lie. If you have made a wrong choice, fess up to it, root it, gut it out from the root, move on. But don't lie. Don't perpetuate the inevitable, because if you lie, you're putting yourself in a position where God will be unable to help you. You're putting yourself in a position where you now have removed yourself out of God's protective fence, and now you're in the fence of the this ravenous animal, which is the devil, that will devour you. So lying is more treacherous. It is more horrible than most people want to realize, because lying will put you in hell. It was just like adultery, just like fornication, just like homosexuality, just like murder. Lying is in those sins that God hates. There are six things that God hates. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. Lying lips. God hates lying lips. And then feet that be quick to running to mischief. He that soweth discord among the brethren. You see, lying is in the form of lies. God hates it. Don't do it. Stay away from it. If you've lied to someone and they're believing a lie, go make it right. You will be amazed when you tell the truth. And after you've been living a lie for so long, all that burden will be lifted off of you, and you'll be able to live your life in truth. Live your life in truth. Stay away from lying. If you know a person that has a spirit of lying on them, a spirit of deception, they can't stop lying. They lie about any little thing. They lie about going to the store. They lie about what they're going to wear. They lie about going to work. Pray scripture over them. That's the only thing that will help them remove that spirit off of them. Praying the word of God. We are in the age where you have a computer on your watch. You have a computer in your hand. It's called your phone. You can Google search scriptures about lying, biblical scriptures about lying, biblical scriptures about insecurity, biblical scriptures about finances, biblical scriptures about how to clean my house, biblical scriptures about how to live right, biblical scriptures about being holy. You can Google search anything. So Google search biblical scriptures about lying, and it will give you a plethora, and I will do that for you. As I am walking to this part of my living room as I discuss the show with you. So, let's see here. Biblical scriptures about lying. I just typed that in. And it says, what does God say about liars? And then here it is, 20 Bible verses about lying, deception, and betrayal. You see how all that goes together. And it says, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only for a moment. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. So that was for someone who has a problem with lying. Again, do not testify against your neighbor without cause. Would you use your lips to mislead? So lying is a whole, there's a lot of things, and I did a show about lying and how that leads to hell. So if you want to listen to that, you can look in my archives. But again, if you have a problem with that or you know someone with that, I'm reading a lot about women who are married and they have a problem with spouses, and also women who have a problem with lying. It is a spirit, and you can remove that spirit. But the only way that you can do that is through the Holy Spirit, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and by Scripture. Scripture is extremely powerful as born-again believers. We are through Jesus, not by ourselves, through Jesus alone. He's the one that deserves the credit. He's the one that deserves all the honor. He is the one that deserves all the glory. He's the one. Jesus is the one that enables us to do what we do. We are ambassadors. We are a royal priesthood. We are representatives of his kingdom. So we are, through Jesus, we are the most powerful beings on this universe because Jesus created the heavens and the earth and all that in them is. He created everything that we see, and he is that same spirit that moved upon the face of the waters when the world began, that stated in Genesis, is also that same spirit that lives in us as born-again believers. So take your authority, whatever area in your life that is weak and about to die, use scripture to overcome it. If you don't know, but you know something is off, even in your relationship, go to the Father in your secret closet. And if you don't have a secret closet, go outside in your backyard in the woods and talk to the Lord. He will meet you where you're at. Is wrong with me? What am I doing wrong? What do I need to change? He will enable, he will help you, he will assist you, he will guide you, he will lead you. Most importantly, I have an urgency that this time is short now. You know, I would tell people that, you know, 20, 30 years ago, you could plan, I'm going to build this big church building, I'm going to save money for my house, I'm going to save money for this, I'm going to save money for that. But now, 2023, June 4th, 2023, I wouldn't make plans for any of that because it is so not even imminent. It's not even imminent. I'm not going to say Jesus is coming imminently. I'm just going to say he's going to come now because the Holy Spirit spoke to me last year at 3, you know, usually it's around 3 in the morning, but the Holy Spirit speaks to me 3 a.m., and he says I have it in my phone, but he says this, the restrainer, which is the Holy Spirit, will soon be removed from the earth. To me, the refrainer will soon be removed from the earth. And you know when that happens, literally, now this is not figurative, it's literally all hell is going to break loose because this is the Holy Spirit. He is the one that is keeping things in order. He is the one that is keeping things peaceful on this earth. He is the one that is keeping the real evil from unleashing. Once the refrain of the Holy Spirit, now the Holy Spirit told me this last year in September. It's going to be a year coming up now, but if we'll make it that long, of course, we'll make it, we'll still be alive, but I'm not saying this world will, may or may not. So the Holy Spirit told me that last year, September 21st, I believe, that the refrainer will soon be removed from the earth. And when that happens, you'll have the rapture. Of course, that's when the rapture happens. That's when the Holy Spirit will leave, because once the Holy Spirit leaves, then you'll have the Antichrist. All the 7 years tribulation, they'll be able to do what they wanted to do. Everything that has happened in the world up until now is leading to this momentous moment where when the Holy Spirit leaves and the rapture is come and gone. And those who have lived holy, those who have repented, those who have waited and watched for the coming of the Lord, they will be gone. All babies will be gone. All children under 5 will be gone. Maybe under 3, because now children at 5 years old know from right from wrong. But children who do not know from right from wrong, they will be gone. Also, people who are maybe mentally disabled, that know right from wrong, will be gone. You will be left here if you do not live a holy life. And that goes into my message, once saved, always saved. Now, there has been a ton of controversy about this saying, and I always tell people when I have a discussion, because I don't argue with people, I don't have time to argue about how if the earth is flat or round, if Jesus was nailed with these type of nails, I don't have time for that frivolous stuff, because that's not going to matter. I believe the earth is round. If you believe the earth is flat, God bless you, I still love you, let's have dinner. But I don't have time for that. I have time about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and saving people from hell. It's not going to matter whether the earth was round if you're in hell. What matters is your soul is right with the Holy Spirit. Your soul is right and in line with God's holy word, and you live according to his word. So getting into our message once saved, always saved. I always tell people, now people, they have these scriptures that they say to me, well, God says it's heaven and earth, or let's see, not heaven and earth. He says that, so once saved, always saved is the belief that from the moment anyone becomes a Christian, they will be saved from hell and you will not lose your salvation. So the question is it biblical? I do not believe it is biblical whatsoever. And what people who believe in this doctrine, they say, they declare Romans 8:30, which says, and those he predestined, also he called, and those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. And then they also say, they also mention John 3:15, whosoever believes in Jesus Christ will have eternal life. But then, and then they also mention this, this one is a conclusive argument as well, that people who believe in once saved, always say, they mention this in Romans 8:38-39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love that God is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So those are some foundational scriptures that people use who believe in the once saved, always saved doctrine. But when I tell people this, when I quote this scripture, and I'm getting that scripture for you right now, when I quote this, Matthew 24:13, but he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. I asked them, what does that mean? I never received an answer from anyone that was conclusive. If you are, if you can, if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because the Bible says by the mouth confession is made, and with the heart salvation, with the mouth of, I'm so sorry, I will get that scripture for you. Please forgive me. I should know that by heart. And let me find that for you. I do apologize. So Romans 10:9, through the Lord Jesus, I shall believe in my heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So they, once a person does that and they believe, then they feel that, okay, now the reins are loose. I'm locked in. I'm not going to hell. I'm locked in to God's salvation. I can go back to living the way I want. Not necessarily. Because if you're truly saved, you don't want to do those things, first of all. And also, the Bible teaches this, be ye holy as I am holy. So what does it mean to be holy? To be holy means that you're dedicated or consecrated to God or religious person, or you're sanctified or sacred. It also means that you've been separated from the world of sin, darkness, and the devil by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So an example of being holy is you believe that the union of man and woman is holy matrimony forever. You live your life of being holy. You don't do things that are deliberately sinful, deliberately knowing that that will hurt God's heart. You live for him. So the five areas of holiness in your life, you could be God's holiness is providential. God is holy in his omnipotence and his knowledge. God's holiness is present. His overwhelming presence, God's holiness is powerful, it's infinite, it's incomparable. So the once saved, always saved, you say that scripture, you're born again, you pray the sinner's prayer, and then you go back and drink and smoke and have a fornication with your significant other, beating your children, beating your wife, you're doing all those things that you did before you got saved. That clearly states that broad is the way that leads to hell, and leads to salvation. And what does he say? Few there be that find it. So I want you to remember that, because the broad way of living is living your life the way you want to. The narrow way of life is not living the way you want to. It's living the way God designed for you to live. Everyone is unique. Everyone was made with their own personality, their own temperament, their own uniqueness that God gave you. You're not going to live your life based on what someone else is living. When you go to church, you're not going to live your life based on the preacher. The preacher supposedly, this is God's original design, is supposed to preach what God says. And what God says is meant for a specific person, but mostly it's meant for you to live a holy life, to live a life of conviction, to live a life that you're dependent on Jesus and you're not dependent on yourself. So the purpose of going to church is to get cleansed, is to get renewed, refreshed, encouraged, and it is to continuously lead you to a stronger and better relationship with Jesus Christ. So if you're once saved, always saved, and you're living like the world, then you cannot expect to make heaven, because the Bible says that narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. So if you're living the way you want to live, you're living the broad life, you're living the big road, you're living the way that you want to live. Once saved, always saved is not of God, and it has caused more people to go to hell than I think any, besides unforgiveness, than any other sin, because the devil is laughing, because that's the doctrine that came straight from the pit of hell. The devil always, that's his mantra, he's always saying, you have time, you have time, you can do this, oh, go live your life, you have time. Do you really? Do you really have time? And the answer is no. What God has told you to do, do it now. Don't wait. Do it now. The Bible teaches that if God removed those branches from Israel who really didn't walk with God and submit to his lordship, remember that God removed the original olive branches that were part of the tree, and he grafted us in. So if he removed the original branches from the tree and grafted us in, how likely will he also remove us? The only Jesus is Jesus, our Lord. And he's going to be Lord of all or Lord not at all. There is no mediocrity. There is no lukewarmness. Either he's going to be Lord of your life or he's not going to be Lord of your life. You can't say, okay, Father, you have one step, you know, I have one foot here, but I want one foot in the world. I want to accept you, but I want to live the way I want to live. It doesn't work that way. The once saved, always saved is just another, I'm sorry to say, and it's just true, it's just another false, it's another falsity that has been perpetrated by the devil to cause you to be killed still and so he can kill, steal, and destroy your life. Jesus' lordship is demonstrated not by the confession of our lips, but by the obedience of our life. We must be obedient to him to the end. Way I believe on that, and I hope that brought some clarity to you. And again, we must be obedient to God in every area of our life. He has to be Lord of all or not at all. I love you guys, and I hope you're having a beautiful Sunday. Enjoy your day. Have some fun today, and may God bless you. And I'll see you next week, or I'll talk to you next week. Thank you.